Hello and welcome to Democracy in Action. My name is Sunny Martin, and today in our episode we shall continue to talk about the constitution making process, and that's very, very important topic because it's going to happen and it's one of the basic document of the land. And we want to find out from you also later on. You can join us during our discussion with my two guests here and call us on 0912-0620-79, and we will be raising more awareness about the upcoming constitution making process, and as it is stipulated in the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. We want to find out today what are the roles of the academia, lawmakers, including yourself as a citizens, in this very crucial process. I'm joined here by two of my guests, Honorable Gatwich Lam, who is a member of parliament representing SPLM-IO in the National Legislative Assembly here. Good morning and welcome once again to Radio Mira.
Thank you, Sunny, for having me.
And I also have one of the professor in the University of Juba, Faculty of Law, Dr. Alfaki Cholwal. Welcome to Radio Mira. You are the Dean Professor at the Faculty Law, University of Juba. I think your first time to be here, right?
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Yeah. First of all, let's begin as a professor in the University of Juba. When we talk about federalism, what does it mean in a simple term to a common man? Because that word, I'm very sure you'll agree with me, if you talk about federal system in South Sudan, it sends a lot of fear, anxiety among some South Sudanese.
Thank you very much, Radio Miraya, and my greeting to your listeners across the nation. Federalism is a system of government in which the powers are divided between the different level of government. And the government structure is divided at least into two levels. You have national level, state level, and we'll go to local level or local government level. So the structure of government is divided under federal system into different level. Each level has its own constitutional powers provided by the federal constitution. So it should not raise fears, or people should not suspect or to run away from talking about federalism. Is a system of government like any system of government in the world.
Where is this kind of anxiety coming from, or fear? Because when you talk about federal system, some people think if I live here in Central Control, I will be told to go back to my village.
No. Federal system unites people. Yes, local people may retain some powers, but at the same time, you have to form a national government in which all people belong to that government. So when you are a citizen of the country, you have right to stay anywhere. Mm-hmm. You cannot be informed that you go back to your original area, because you are one citizen. We have the same nationality. We have the one citizenship. We are citizen of the one country.
And the Honorable Gatwich, why is it very important? Because this agreement we are talking about here, it talks about federalism. Even the constitution should be written based on a federal system. What is the significance of this?
Thank you, Sunny Martin, for having me once again. And also thanks to our audience all over South Sudan. I think this forum is a very educative forum. It is not partisan, though I represent a particular political party, but actually when I speak here, I will not be representing a party, but I will represent what the people of South Sudan actually want to hear.
Okay.
Before answering your questions and why is it significant and important for us to have a federal system, let us go back to the background of the federal system. The federal system was the demand of the people of South Sudan since 1947.
During the Juba Conference.
During the Juba Conference. And then, again, because Northerners don't want to hear about federalism, because they have their own perceptions and understanding of federalism, or Federation of South of Sudan by then it was not allowed to happen. But recently, and after the independence of South Sudan, and let me take you back to 2011, when we were actually formulating or enacting this, the current constitutions, we were few members of the parliament that demanded that no. We felt that the decentralized system that we have in South Sudan now is more centralized than being a decentralized, or the devolved powers and resources to the lower levels than that. So that we said that let us go federal. And we went to the parliament. It was voted. 42 members of parliament voted for federal system, but the rest voted for a decentralized system. This is what has happened. Now, when the agreement was signed in 2015 and also a revitalized agreement 2018, it was also put in the constitution and become one of the demands of the people of South Sudan. And it was enshrined in the RRKs that the federal system is a demand of the people of South Sudan. And the government that should be established should be based on the federal system. And then also the national dialogues that was conducted also adapted federal system as the best system of governance. So why is significant and important for us to go federal? As it was said by for Professor, you know, the federal system is the devolution of power and resources to the lower levels. And when you have the federal system, you have three levels of the government. You have the national, the state, the local government, and also go to the fourth level, that is the municipality. These are the levels when it comes to the federal system. When it comes to the these levels, they share powers. There are two types of devolutions. It may be a delegated power where the national or the federal system will delegate powers to the state and local government or states. And also there's a type of federal system that we share some of the powers. Because if you go federal, you go for complete delegation of powers to the states, that can be a recipe for some other things. Maybe claim independence at the end. But at least that might be a chair. Some of the powers should be shared, but should be at national level, and some at the state level. And if you look into our constitution now, there are powers. There are national powers, there is state powers, and local government.
Yeah.
And there are concurrent powers. So, but here, what is important is that there should be semi-independence of the states and local government. And when it comes to power, there are certain powers that will be exclusive to the national government. And then some should powers should be also have exclusive to the states. When it comes to resource, the resource also should be shared by the level, different levels of the government. So you will find, for example, we have oil now. Oil is a national resource.
Yeah.
Mining is a, minerals are a national resource. And other sources are supposed to be our national resources. These things are shared by all levels of government. So the national assembly should, the national government should have a, should have its own share, and also the state should have, and then the local government. That's why you see now, at the national level for oil, for example,
yeah,
the oil have a certain share, 40%, for example, and then when you go to state, they have 2%. When you go to the local government, at the county, they have 3% for the community. This is how the chairs said that there should be a development all over, and everybody should benefit from that. This is one of the examples of that. But this is why it is important that when you devolve powers and also resources to the lower, then the development, you know. So the pyramid will be now expanding at the lower levels and then shrinks at the national level.
Right. And Dr. Alfaki, first of all, could you share with us some examples of, or specific examples of federalism in some countries where it has worked successfully, and that can also be replicated here in South Sudan? Because one of the big questions that has been going on is what kind of federal system should South Sudan adapt?
Thank you once again. And as Honorable put it, in federal system, powers, financial powers, political powers are divided. And as he put it also, under federal system, powers are devolved to the local government, are not delegated. And the difference between the two is that when powers are delegated by the central government, they can be withdrawn
anytime.
Anytime. Mm. But devolution is according to the constitution.
Yeah.
So the national government cannot withdraw those powers unless the national constitution is amended.
Yeah.
Federalism is applicable in the world. For example, in Ethiopia, federal system was adopted to solve the issue of diversity, ethnic diversity. So now they succeeded because of federalism that they adopted in the 90s. In Iraq, also, because of diversity, Kurdistan region was given autonomous entity. So it succeeded there. In Nigeria, also federalism was adopted to solve the issue of diversity. So any diverse society, any diverse country, or with a large size, or with a large population like India, federalism is better for them. In South Sudan, here, South Sudan is a diverse country. And even the roads or access to move from here to there is very difficult. So when you devolve powers from the central government to the lowest government, you will take services to the local powers. So the government at the local level will work effectively more than the national government.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision at the lower level there will be taken immediately without waiting for the decision to come from the national government. So people in Buma or in Raja or in Kafekenji should not wait for the decision to be taken in Juba here. They should have their own power to decide on their affairs.
And what is the role of the citizens here in also making sure that their voices are heard in terms of decision making? Because it is very, very important for the citizens also to be consulted. We understand that the Ministry of Federal Affairs was supposed to have a conference here in Juba, but it is delaying maybe because of some factors, funding. What is the role of the common citizens here?
You see, a constitution, let me say this, a constitution should not be imposed on the people. It should come from the people.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about federal system in Juba here, without participating this common citizen, that why the people will not know the nature and importance of federal system. So we should do like what you are doing now, civic education.
Mm-hmm.
People should have knowledge about the concept of federal system, its importance, and the role of the people. One of the important issues in federal system is participation of citizen in public decision, in public policy. So people have to participate. So we have to open public forum, and the issue of federal system should be discussed thoroughly. Not in parliament alone, we should go up to the grassroots so that we take their opinion, their voice, to be incorporated in the national policy of the country. So people must participate directly or indirectly, and we should go to them. They should not listen only through radio.
Yeah.
We have to go to them.
Okay, Honorable, beside what Dr. Alfaki have said about the role of citizen participation of citizens in public policy, what are some of the advantages, again, of a federal system for South Sudan?
Yeah, I fully concur with Professor on what he said and how people participate in the federal systems. In fact, to write a constitution is driven, people-driven laws that is incorporate the ideas and views of the people. That's why people go for public consultation, to solicit views of the people of how this constitution will look like.
Mm-hmm.
That will also happen when there's a civic education and also a public consultation on the people. Now, coming to this chair, when we say chair, that means there's a participatory approach to the issues. And the type of system that we want to adopt is a cooperative system where everybody will come and participate with ideas and inputs to whatever is going to be decided based on this. So with this, I think it's important for us as a people of South Sudan to educate our peoples and also to try to mitigate the fears that also will come always about implementation of federal systems. So when we share powers in the federal systems, all levels of government are elected. So the presidency, the governors, the members of the parliament, including the commission at lower level, all of them are elected. Mm-hmm. That means it is now the people decided who is going to govern them.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, when they're elected, all levels of the government are elected, then now even this way now there will be a level of accountability and transparency, because they know that whenever they mess up, those who elected them now he's accountable to those who elected him. Said that when he do that, these people also have the same power to remove. For example, now, if the governor is elected, then the president does not have power to remove him.
Mm-hmm.
It will be the assembly of that country, that state, to remove that governor, because they have the powers in their constitution to remove the governor. And then now they will go for by election to elect a new. So this is a participatory approach to this federal system that we are doing. So now, I think it is important for all of us to know that also in the federal systems, federal system also is applied, and we have the bicameral legislature.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be unilateral. It should be a bicameral. So in our context, for example, we have the National Assembly and we have the Council of State.
Yeah.
So now, in other ways, we have the federal system by default, where we have now two bicameral systems.
Mm-hmm.
We have two parliaments. We have the National Legislative Assembly and we have the Council of State. In other countries, we have the House of Representatives and also they have the Senate. For example, in South Africa, they have the National Assembly and they have the Council of the Provinces.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Kenya, now we have the Senate, which is representing the counties.
Yeah.
And also they have the National Assembly. So this is another way, despite the fact that South Africa did not call it a federal system. And also Kenya did not call it a federal system. But there's a devolved powers to all these levels. And you can see now the counties in Kenya. I have never been in Kenya for long. But in Kenya, what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of development going at lower levels, simply because of that devolved powers and resources that are mm-hmm. given to the counties. Also, the same thing in South Africa. So this is how federal system worked, and this is how people participate in the decision-making. So anything that will be decided, it will be the people that decide. So that's why when we say that there must be a permanent constitution, that means this must be a constitution that's driven by the people, and also they will participate. That's why the Ministry of Federal Affairs now, the Parliament has already enacted the policy. Now they are working on the blueprint. Now they are preparing for the National Conference on Federalism. But because of scarcity of resources, they are not able to do that. So whenever they do, this way now people are going, delegates are going to be sent from
to Juba,
to come and participate in the decision or type of federalism that they are going to have in South Sudan.
Okay. Yes, if you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Democracy in Action. My name is Sani Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba, and we are talking about raising more awareness about the federal system in conjunction also with my two guests here. You have heard from them more about this process. We have two guests here, Honorable Gatwech Lamu, who is a Member of Parliament in the National Legislative Assembly here, and we have Dr. Faki Cholam Lual, who is a Dean Professor at the Faculty of Law, University of Juba. And if you have got any question about federalism in this country, please do call us on 0912062079, or you can send us your question to our SMS number 0912076 0912177141. I already have a couple of SMS coming in here, and this one says, my question goes to the professor from the University of Juba. Like, we have heard from you that the call for federal system started way back in 1947. The National Dialogue also echoed the same issue, and he want to find out two questions, Professor. What is the role of academia in advocating for the implementation of the cause of many South Sudanese for federal system in this country? And the second one is, what will it take for federalism to be implemented in this country? That's coming from Deng in Tomping here in Juba. Another question is coming in from Jackson, also here in Juba, and he says, my question goes to Honorable Lam. He says, there are politicians who are resisting the implementation of federal system in South Sudan because they think they will lose properties, for example, here in Juba. If federal system is implemented, there will be sanity and there will be law and order, and some people who don't want order are the one resisting it. What is the influence of politicians in resisting the implementation of... do you think there is a kind of resistance by some group of politicians who are resisting the implementation of federal system as a general call by the citizens? That's from Jackson here in Juba. Yes, let's begin with you, Professor. The first two questions from Deng.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Deng. The role of academia is to deliver knowledge or to make civic education. So we educate people about the concept and principles of federal system, and we remove any fears that federal system is a dangerous system of government. So what we do is we teach people the knowledge, we participate to the public about the general concept of federal system or federal system of government, its advantages and disadvantages also, of how it works. So this is the role that can be played by academia. For the second part of your question, that for implementation of federal system, what will it take? I think this needs political will. When there is a genuine political will and the government is willing to do so, the first thing is to do civic education. Let the people understand the meaning, concept, advantages and disadvantages of federal system. It should not be taken that it is a demand of a particular group of people. So it should be taken as a public demand of the people, and people should participate openly so that they decide about what they want. Okay? So this may take time, and it needs efforts. People must work hardly. The government should work hardly so that the people understand. Now we have Ministry of Federal Affairs, and its role should be to educate people about the federal system. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, Honorable.
Thank you very much. Actually, I will agree that there are people who are resisting federalism. And the live example was in 2011 when we were enacting this constitution. It was few of us who actually, or we are not few, we were good in number. but then we said, no, this decentralized systems is not working because it's not devolving resources. Now you can see their accumulation of resources at national level, and you will see the lower levels are not benefiting. There's no development at the state level. There's no development at local government. So let us go federals, so that we devolve resources at the lower levels. But it was resisted by some of our colleagues in the parliament.
Yeah.
And it was even went to the point of even fighting people. So people were targeted, that there are people who are, we want. And even I remember one of our colleagues was threatening and telling me that, look, if we go federal, we are still, we can even go back to arms. And we can vote to back to uniform. What bring uniform now, and what take us to arm again?
What is the fear here?
What is the fears? You know, the fear is that I take you back to Kokora, the Kokora phenomena was actually give a bad gesture and bad memory to everybody. Because as you have asked the professor before, that now when you come federal, then everybody will be chased away from here, and then everybody will go to his own states. That was what happened in the early 80s. I think you were very young. But we were already grown up. So, and we were already after secondary school. We already finished. We are preparing ourselves to go to university. So, at that time, people which everybody was asked to go. They were divided even the assets. So that perception now is still
in people's mind.
In people's minds. So that now when we come to prison, they say that this the same thing is going to repeat itself.
Mm-hmm.
While it is not the same. That era and this era is the different. Second, the meaning of Kokora in Baria is, they said, according to our colleagues, they said that it is sharing things.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, that's the meaning of Kokora.
It's not telling you to go.
Not telling you to go. So now, this is one of the perceptions and misconceptions of other colleagues that are misinterpreting the issue of federalism. Another issue is that people are seeing that when it's about resources. So you can see now some of the states are lucky enough to have oil, to have some of them have minerals, mm-hmm. and mines. Some have they have a lot of animal resources and all this. So they felt that when people go federal, everybody will have its own resources.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sharing with anybody. While we have already three level of government, there are federal.
Like you explained earlier.
As I explained earlier. So now when we come to federal system, the resources are going to be classified.
Mm-hmm.
There will be natural resources which will be shared by all people of South Sudan. And then there will be state and local government resources. So peer actually evolves around the resources sharing and also power. Because some other people want to cling to the power and they don't want to share it with others. So they want to be dictating the lower levels,
mm-hmm.
and make decisions at the national levels here. So these are the fears. But these fears can be mitigated when people come to understand what does federalism.
So who should mitigate this kind of fear here?
It is the same politician. Mm-hmm. When they change their perception and understanding about federalism. These are the same people.
Okay.
Because those who are confusing the citizens and civilians now are the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are the one now taking news to the people. No. If you go federal, I can see now some people even are taking personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we did a lot of work with the Minister of Federal Affairs, and we also form a working groups.
Mm-hmm.
We visit some other countries to share experiences. When you come to two people and talk to people about federalism, you'll find them there. No. This is the Ministry of Kokora.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want it. And you can see now why they are not able even to conduct the national conference. It's because they are denied resources to do the work. Simply because of that wrong perception, and they are seeing it. And I remember one of our colleagues said to us in SPLM, Shilo, Federal Wizard of the Federal Metakumda.
Take it away.
So you can see the perception. These are the people who are now confusing the public.
Okay.
But if we come to the reality as it was defined by professor, and also I give some definition to that person, that address the issue of diversity. They also share resources together.
Yeah, South Sudan is a diverse country. Yeah.
Equally. I think these people will live in harmony.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yes, you can still call us on 0912062079. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, your name.
Hello.
Yes, your name, and where are you calling from?
Hello, Sam Martin.
Yes, your name.
I'm Johannes Gatnyang. I'm calling from PLC Bentiu.
Okay, go ahead. From Bentiu.
Yeah. Anandi Swalen the professor.
Okay.
Professor Begul Gal Al Hukm Al Fatrali Khatar Al Nas. Fahana Marib. Khatura Batao Shino. في ذهنه كذول متعلم كذول عارف أنه كيف يكون المواطن في منطقة بتاعه حسب فتران ما أعرف المفهوم بتاع الفرقصة في حكم ذاته شنو نمرة 2 يقول الناس المطالبين بحكم الفتران قال أدر بسيط هل الفرقصة عمل إيسا للناس اللي بيقولوا أننا عايزين حكم فترالي والناس اللي ما دارين حكم فترالي وهل التخوف ده علشان شنو هل علشان أنه في فئة بسيطة بيمتلكوا الآن ثروات بتاعت الدولة خارج برا من المواطنين الأخر. فأنا ما أعرف مفهوم بتاع البروفيسور في الموضوع ده شنو. وهو بيقول خليه يرينا بالضبط كده هل في إحصاء. والبروفيسور عمل إحصاء للناس اللي بيقولوا إن إحنا ما دارين فترالي.
أوكي شكرا كارلسا من POC بنتي يسا بروفيسور.
شكرا الأخ غنيان. ربما يكون ما فهمتنا كويس. أصلا ما قلت بأنه الحكم الفيدرالي خطر على الناس أو خطر على البلد. ربما أنا قلت وده كان باللغة الإنجليزية بأنه في الناس بيفهموا بأنه الحكم الفيدرالي خطر الناس ديل لازم نصحح مفهوم بتاعه. فبدا ما كان كلامي ده الناس المتخوفين بأنه الحكم الفيدرالي خطر أو كعب. عشان كده قلت الناس ديل نصحح مفهوم بتاعه بأنه الحكم ده ما كعب. الحكم ده كويس نبين لهم مزايا بتاعه وفوائد بتاعه ومحاسن بتاعه. فما في زول قال بين الحكم الفيدرالي خطر على الناس. وفي نفس الوقت ما في زول قال العدد المطالب بالحكم الفيدرالي عدد بسيط. لا الصحيح بأنه الناس ما يقولوا بأنه الناس الدائرين الفيدرالية ده ناس معينين ده مطالب ده مطلب بتاع جنوبيين ولازم يناقشوا في منتدى واسع جدا. ما في كلام عن بأنه العدد الدائرين الفيدرالية ناس بسيطين. كلامنا ما يتقال وممكن تراجع الحصة يعني إن شاء الله.
Okay. Yes, there is another question here from Warab State. He says it was explained earlier, but I would like the Honorable to make more clarification. This few powerful group whose voices are resisting the implementation of federal system, what is the way forward? How do we engage them as people of South Sudan?
Thank you. These few powerful people, how do we change them? I think if there are few, and the majority of people of South Sudan are for federalism, definitely they will remain minority.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are in democratic process, definitely the majority rules. It's override everybody rules.
Mm-hmm.
So we... They are free to express their own view. It is their own views that they don't want federalism, simply because of their own understanding, because of their own perception. But if people of South Sudan, and as it was enshrined in the agreements, and also in the national dialogue, all over South Sudan, they agree that it's a popular demand now for people of South Sudan. That means the majority of people of South Sudan are for federal systems.
Mm-hmm.
So if these few members become members and they are powerful, how powerful they will be?
Mm-hmm. Until when?
Until when? Definitely their powers will be shrinks and also will be subdued by everybody. So it will not a problem. We will just consider them that they are free to express their own views should be also respected.
Okay.
But they have, as equally, they should also respect the views of the majority and the demand of the majority of people of South Sudan.
All right. 0912062079 is the number for you to call, or you can call us on 0929686297 and ask your question to my two guests here. We have Dr. Alfaki Cholwal, Dean Professor at the University of Juba, Faculty of Law. And also I have Honorable Gatwet Lam, who is a member of the National Legislative Assembly. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Martin.
Yes, your name?
Yeah, you are connecting with Rachel Leo from Malakal.
Okay. Marhabek.
Yeah. Let me greet the Honorable and Professor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my question is that which type of federalism better to South Sudan? Is it tribal one, like the one was in the Subia?
Okay. Yes, what kind of federal system is suitable for South Sudan? I think that question has been lingering on. The minister was here one time back. And another question also here is Majok Mayen Majok from Juru River County says, my question, what are the factors affecting the implementation of federal system in South Sudan? And another question here is to both of you in the studio. Do you think there is a high demand for serious awareness that it will involve politicians, academia, civil society, partners, religious leaders to conduct massive awareness to educate people about federal system? We know that the economic crisis right now, but is it possible for everybody to embark on serious awareness to educate people about a federal system in order to eliminate this negative perception about federal system? That's from Lupai in Yei River County, Central Equatoria State. It's going to all of you here. Yes, let's open the mic. Maybe. Yes, Honorable.
Yeah.
The last question.
Okay.
Awareness.
So let me start with the type of federal system that...
Yes, in Malakal.
In Malakal. Mm. In fact, this is one of the questions that everybody's asking. So wherever you go, what type of federal system that you want to implement? So now, already we have chairs, experiences from other countries. For example, our system, there are, in a federal system, you can have a presidential system while federal system is applied. That means you have the national level, like what is happening in America.
Mm-hmm.
America now, you have the federal systems. That is by the presidents, and also you have the Congress and all. But at the same level, you have the state's government. That's a presidential system of implementing. Okay. Implementing the federal system. Now there's a parliamentary systems that also implements parliamentary system that implement the federal system. For example, in Australia, in India, and also in other countries,
mm-hmm.
and also in South Africa also they have the presidential system, but it looked like a federal system in other way because there's a devolution of powers.
Mm-hmm.
So now we were for us. That's for us. That's my own views.
Mm-hmm.
We will prefer that we have to go for a presidential system,
mm-hmm.
but with the devolved powers to the lower levels. Because if we go for parliamentary system is costly. And in our diverse system that we have now, a diverse community that we have here and there, it will be costly, and it will also create a political instability.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will be the prime minister will be elected by the parliament.
Mm-hmm. Like what is happening in Ethiopia.
What is happening in Ethiopia. So if that happened, then it would be a problem to us, because mm-hmm. taking into consideration the tribal affiliation that we have here,
mm-hmm.
so it will not be a stable kind. That's why we are not for ethnics federalism that is applied in Ethiopia.
Okay.
You can see now there's a lot of instability,
yeah.
in Ethiopia.
Okay.
So this is what we can go for. We should not go for that. Now coming to factors affecting the implementation of the... Now we are on the process of implementation of the federal system, because it is not yet enshrined or incorporated in the constitution. That's why there's a permanent constitution-making process that shall adapt the federal systems of governance. Again, demand for a serious public awareness. Yes, because for us to change all these perceptions and conceptions that is happening about the federal system, like what has had sometimes back from somebody else, that there are people who are fearing the federal system. This, we cannot change these fears unless we make a public awareness. That's why in the public, in the constitution for making process, there must be a public consultation. There must be also a civic education on this, to take the information and also ask the solutions be of the people, and also change perception of the people.
Okay.
So there's a need for us to go for civic education and also for public consultation.
Right. Yes, Professor, as we conclude, our time is up. Briefly, in 1 minute, you summarize. What is your concluding remark, or would you like to add something on what the Honorable have said as we finish?
Yeah, what I can say here is people should not ask the responsible Ministry of Government about the type of federal system. It is the people themselves to decide what kind of federal system do they need. And the role of the government is
how?
To make
how
civic education.
Okay.
during civic education, they should be educated about the examples of federal system in the world. After that, they will choose the one which is best for them. So the type of federal system should not be imposed on them. The citizen of the country of South Sudan should be the one to decide. That is one. The factors that affecting implementation and may affect the implementation of federal system in South Sudan here, we have many. One of them is the ignorance. People are not aware. There is high degree of illiterate people. Mm-hmm. That is one. Economic situation. Because federalism is very expensive. It needs a lot of resources. And when you have economic challenges, federalism will not succeed. Secondly, political instability. If there is no political instability in the country, federalism will not work successfully. So these are the things, and I think my recommendation is that we should conduct highly civic education in the country concerning implementing federal system.
Thank you so much. Yes, Honorable, finally, in 30 seconds.
Thank you very much. What I want to say is that to people of South Sudan, federalism is the best option for us in South Sudan. Said that we can be able to have more powers at the state level, local government. And also we can be able to share resources together and also mitigate the fears of the people that are seeing that federalism will going to deprive them. Nobody is going to run away with the resources. Mm. If I have my own oil in Upper Nile State, I'm not going to run away with it. I will share it with somebody in Northern Bargazal. I will share it with somebody who is already in Western Equatoria. And that is the national resource that we are going to share. If you have your own minerals in some states, we are going to share. So, please, federalism is not going to deprive everybody from its own rights. So we are going to share things equally and also unite us as the people of South Sudan.
Thank you so much, Honorable Gatwich Lam and Dr. Alfaki Cholwal, Dean of Professor, the University of Juba, Faculty of Law. And the news is coming next. Thank you so much. And that's it we have for you this week, Democracy in Action. My name is Annie Martin. Stay tuned.
Loving can hurt. Loving can hurt sometimes. But it's the only thing that I know. When it gets hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. It is the only thing makes us feel alive.